We are going to start this new series called Be Still. Be Still. Many truths that we can learn over the course of this series, that the Lord may speak to us freshly every time we gather together to meditate on this new series. Psalm 40, chapter 46 and verse 10. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. All together, please. Shall we all read this verse all together? Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10 as it is projected here. Let's all read this together. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion. May the Lord guide us. Let's pray. Father, gracious God, as we start this new series, Be Still, I pray, Father, that you may enable us to focus our attention upon you and to learn the things that are of eternal value. Lord, we pray, Father, right from the beginning of this series, that we may be able to learn things from your word. Open my mouth that I may speak what you want me to speak, Father. Lord, whatever you are teaching me, that I may be able to share in such a manner that we all may be able to grow more and to be able to leave this place after the service with a renewed and a transformed people. Thanking you and praising you and committing this new series into your precious loving hands, we ask all this in the highly exalted name of our dear Lord and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you have read this verse. Maybe you have heard a lot of sermons related to this particular verse. But God's word is so wonderful that it is a fresh manna every day you read it. Even if it is the same portion, the next day you read it, God gives us wonderful thoughts from his scriptures. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Some of you might have it on your walls in your house. Be still and know that I am God. I've been praying about this as to how, what should be the next series. I was sharing with a few of our brothers as well in terms of being able to ask the Lord, Lord, in what way? What is that you have in store for your church, the church of the living God? What is it that you want to speak? And God has been confirming that this is what the verses are. Various forwarded messages sometimes I received. Sometimes even when in my own personal meditation, God has been reminding of this important element of being still. What does this word, be still, mean? There is one word in Hebrew, if you want to note it down somewhere in the bottom of your sermon notes, you can note it down as it is projected here. The word, Hebrew word for be still is Rapha. All we know is Jehovah Rapha. Rapha. Rapha means healer. Somebody who takes away, lets go of the diseases that we have. Similar kind of meaning, Rapha. Rapha. It means be still. Relax, refrain, forsake, to let go, to be quiet. There are many definitions of this particular Rapha. And the popular or the much closer literal translating English translations have used the word be still. And some of the translations use other words also. We are going to look at that. But this word Rapha means to relax, refrain. There is something that God wants to remind us today, my dear brother and sister, that there is something about it that probably it is lingering in our minds and hearts to be able to say, be still. Be still. I don't know what is going on in your life right now. Something that may be bothering in your life. But the word of God says to be still. There is a story about two traveling monks. They were going from one town to another town. And they had to cross a river. And there was this young woman who was standing at one side of the river trying to see how to be able to cross the river. She was wearing a beautiful dress and she did not know how to be able to move from one side of the river to the other side. So she was waiting on. And these two traveling monks, they came nearby. There was an older monk and a younger monk and they were traveling and they saw this lady unable to know how to be able to cross. And so this older monk, what he did was he carried this young woman on his shoulders and walked all the way from one side of the river to the other side. And he let her down and they left the place. And these two monks were going, and this lady, she didn't even say anything. She did not acknowledge anything. She went past. And these two traveling monks, they were traveling onto the other side. And this younger monk, after a few hours, he said, "There is something that is bothering me." He said, "That young woman, you carried her so much. You took care of her. You made sure that her dress, beautiful dress, was not spoiled. And you took her all the way onto the other side. And she was not even grateful. She was so rude that she wasn't even thankful or acknowledged." And this older monk said, "Listen, my young monk, I have carried her and I left her also. It has been hours, but you are still carrying her. You are still carrying her all these hours. You are still carrying her. I have let her out and done with it. But you are the one, though you did not physically carry her, you are carrying her in your mind." Many times we think about the past, we keep lingering about the past. You need to let go. You need to let go of the things in order to be able to move forward to the things that are ahead of you. There are many wonderful lessons that we can learn. There are certain things that you need to cling on to, but there are many things that you need to let go. To let go. Psalm 46, when verse 10, Rapha. Let us see some of the other English translations as to how they have translated this particular verse, Psalm 46:10. As I show it here, the New American Standard Bible, this is also one of the closest to the literal translation. It says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Cease. What does cease mean? To be able to stop. Cease striving and know that I am God. In the God's Word translation, it says, "Let go of your concerns, then you will know that I am God." Let go of your concerns. And Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "Stop your fighting and know that I am God." Different ways in which they are translating in English, but the word Rapha has different words that you can relate to, and some of the English translations have used them. Be still, cease striving. Many times we keep fighting against the wind, thinking that we can do something about it. Let us read the same verse in English. Let us read this in English, please. In Hindi, let us all read this. Those of us who can understand the Hindi language, you can read it, or the one in English transliterated. Let's do that. Chup ho jao, aur jaan lo ki main hi Parameshwar hoon. Main jatiyon mein mahaan hoon. Main prithvi bhar mein mahaan hoon. सेनाओं का यहोवा हमारे संग है, याकूब का परमेश्वर हमारा ऊंचा गढ़ है. We read two verses. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 and 11. If you see here, it's interesting. Chup ho jao. Sometimes we need to keep our mouth shut. We need to quieten ourselves. Stop. Many times we are such a kind of people who are so emotional and try to react to the things the way we should not react. Be still. Be still. Chup ho jao. See how Hindi has translated the same word, Rapha. They have translated as chup ho jao. Let us read that in Telugu. What does it say? Urakundidi nene devudanani telusukonidi anya janulalo nenu mahonnatudanagudunu bhumi meeda nenu mahonnatudanagudunu సైన్యములకు అధిపతి యెహోవా మనకు తోడై ఉన్నాడు, యాకోబు యొక్క దేవుడు మనకు ఆశ్రయమై ఉన్నాడు. ఊరకుండుడి. దే ఆర్ థింగ్స్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు లెర్న్ దిస్ లెసన్స్. బైబుల్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ఇట్, ఓకే? ఇట్స్ నాట్ మీ. ఊరకుండుడి ఇన్ తెలుగు స్లాంగ్ చేసే ఊరుకో, ఇంకా ఊరుకో. వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ మీన్? ఇనఫ్, ఇనఫ్. దెర్ ఆర్ సర్టన్ థింగ్స్ దట్ యు నీడ్ టు స్టాప్. Maybe you are keeping on thinking about the thing that happened in the past. You keep remembering, hey, see, last week you did that, last month you did that, last month that brother did that sister did that, my wife did that. Many things. Urkol, just leave it. Chup ho jao. Maybe something has happened over the past week in your life. Maybe you were a little too emotional in reacting to the things, maybe with your spouse, with your children, with your in-laws, with your extended family, with your church family. I do not know if the Lord is reminding of the things that you have done. Maybe you shouldn't have reacted like that. You should have kept quiet. There are certain times we need to keep ourselves Rapha, to be still. May the Lord speak to us from this particular series of the importance of being still. In this world where we have so much of busy life, even if we have to wake up in the morning, there is no quiet time as such. We tend to open our smartphones and start checking our emails before we think about God. And many times we forget that we are in a situation that we are so busy in our lives. I keep getting reminded of this story and don't mind repeating. There were two friends who were growing up in a countryside. They were growing so much that they enjoyed playing with all these little pets and insects and all that. They were growing so wonderfully that they grew up, and one of those friends had to move to an urban area, very busy life, Manhattan area. And when he was living there, he was getting busy with his life there, urban life, and so busy life every moment from the morning till the evening, doing the things one after the other, sometimes multitasking and many things. And suddenly one day he happened to know that his good old friend from his childhood days in the countryside, he came to visit him. And he comes and visits him and he sees this man not even able to talk. So he keeps talking and he keeps doing things. He never sits and looks at his face and talks to him. And then they keep going out on the roads, the busy road with so much of noisy traffic going on. And suddenly this friend who came from the countryside, he says, hey, do you remember when we were the childhood friends? Remember how we used to play with things? I hear a cricket chirping, a lot small insect that is making sound. That small cricket that is chirping. And that friend says, no, I don't hear anything. See, so much of busy life, there's so much of honking going on here and there. What is there? No, the friend says, no, I still hear something. I still hear something. And then he says, no, there's nothing like that. Then the friend goes to a corner and tries to see, I think I'm hearing the voice from there. And the moment he removes a small crate or a box from there, he sees that little cricket insect chirping and making sound. Then he says, listen, my friend, we used to be able to have fun when we were growing up, to be able to hear where the sound was coming from. And now you became so busy in your life that you are not able to hear that little sound, the still small voices that are coming up. You are missing them. You need to quieten yourself. Relax. You need to be able to focus on the things that matter. Sometimes you and I have to learn those important lessons. Maybe we are so busy in these worldly things to be able to fight against the things of this world. I'm not saying that you should not work, your project work or whatever you are doing, but not at the cost of God. Not at the cost of spending time with God. The most important fresh time, what do? Oh, we are so busy doing so many things. Some people even are so busy that they are not able to even have time to pray and have family prayer times. Why? What is going on? Be still, my dear. Sometimes I feel family prayer time we should not miss, because that is only time. Not only do you have a family prayer, meditation of the word, but also you can spend time with your children and say, how did your day go? Because most of the time they are busy. We are busy, maybe cooking or doing project work or something or other, or keeping on checking the WhatsApp or other Facebook messages, so much, and trying to connect with others. Sometimes even with our spouse, we don't spend enough time. Maybe this is the opportunity for us to learn some important lessons, to be still. And today, the sermon that we are going to learn from this Be Still series is, be still and know. Be still and know. There is something about the second word as well. Not only being still, but there is something that only if you be still that you will be able to know certain things. And today, let's learn some things. If you want to note it down, Psalm 46 verse 10, you can write down, because there are sometimes not only hearing and seeing, but writing down that particular verse. If you want to write down, it's right here. Let me show you. Be still and know that I am God. If you want to write it down, please write it down. If you need a paper, pencil or pen, please ask. Be still and know that I am God. First line. Second line, I will be exalted among the heathen. Third line, I will be exalted in the earth. Let us note it down, because sometimes when we write it, there are certain things that we can learn from this particular verse itself. One verse, many truths that we can learn. And the first thing that we can learn from this particular verse, Psalm 46 and verse 10, is to be still and know. Know, gnosis, to be able to know. There is important meaning of the word know. There are two definitions of it as well. Some people say, I know the president of United States. I know where he was born. I know where he's traveling. I know about him. I know where all he is traveling. Right now where he is also, I know because I follow him. I follow everything that is going on. Sometimes people follow some celebrities and many things they know about them. But the daughter of Obama, when she says, I know the president, I know my dad, I know my father, that knowing is different from knowing about. Lot of people know about Jesus. Lot of people know about God as somebody who is a divine almighty. They know about, but they don't know him. Knowing about is different from knowing the person personally. As a child knows the parent, especially on this Father's Day, how much your child knows you. Your colleagues may know about you, but your spouse knows you. Your children know you. And that is what we should be able to see. Know that God. First thing that we can learn, if you want to note it down, is that know that God. What is God? The original word in Hebrew for this word God is Elohim. Elohim. Elohim is a word that is used which is translated as God. The short form of Elohim is El. Many words that come through that particular Beth El means house of God. And many words, El Shaddai means God the Almighty. Elohim Shaddai. But in short, they use the word El. Wherever in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament in Hebrew, El or Elohim, they are translated as God. Know that God is Elohim. And the first time ever that word Elohim is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The first time in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and earth. Elohim, easy to say God. Easy to say God. Everybody, many early religions also use the word God in a very generic sense. But to be able to be very specific as to who this God is, be still and know that I am God. I am Elohim. Elohim means God himself. It is the only word plural in form but singular in meaning. It is the only word plural in form but singular in meaning. God. You don't say gods. But plural in form, because God in three persons. That is why in the same chapter, God said, let us make man in our image. The only word, if you want to note it down, only word plural in form, but singular in meaning. God in three persons. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's saying, know that I am God, I am the creator. And I am a creator. And I am God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who existed from the beginning till now. Know that God is Elohim. And secondly, we can learn that God is the existing one. God is Elohim, and God is existing. What does it say? Be still and know that I am God. I am. Wonderful, again, the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, where Moses had this encounter with God, Elohim God. And he meets him at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, Moses said to God, our children are memorizing these verses, so I'm also being part of this memorization. I sit with them. And Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Please read it in any other language in verse 14. I am, I am, I am, I am, meaning always existing. Unnavadanu, right? That's what it says. Anuvadanu. I am that I am. That is what it says here. That God is existing. When he says, I am, how do you say? I am God, he says, right? And what do you say? He is God, right? God said, I am God, and I am saying, he is God. I am is in first person, and he is in the second person. Hebrews chapter 11. Why am I saying about he is? Let us look at that in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Please read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Who comes to God must believe that he is, or in other words, that I believe that God said I am, that he is. In other words, he exists. When God said I am, in other words, God exists. Fool says that there is no God. And they think that who believe in God are fools, in other words. But the Bible says clearly that God exists. Somebody wrote on a wall, it seems. They wrote on the wall, God is nowhere, and went away. And somebody else who believed in God, he came and separated. He drew a line after N-O-W, nowhere. He just put N-O-W-H-E-R-E. He said, he drew a line in between and said, God is now here. It's not about God is nowhere. God is now here. God exists, my dear. He's Elohim God. He is the I am God, Yehovah. He is the Yehovah God. I am the Lord, he says. Yehovah God, or the existing one. Remember, God is Elohim. God is existing. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. What do we learn here? The second thing, third thing that we can learn, that not only is he an Elohim God, the existing God, but also he is the exalted God. Exalted. Where do we see that? Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. It says, I will be exalted among the nations. What does it say in your language? What for the word exalted? What does it say about exalted? It says, Mahonnatudu. Mahonnatudu, meaning to be able to be exalted, to be able to be honored, glorified. He is the exalted God. Maybe these words are sometimes difficult for you to remember or understand, but these are the words. He is the God who created. He is the God who exists. Elohim God who exists. He existed from the beginning, and he exists now. He exists forever. And he is exalted because of that. He says, I will be exalted among the nations, among the heathen. Among the non-believers also he will be exalted, remember. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That is why we give importance to worshiping God, our Heavenly Father, to be able to keep on exalting him and magnifying him. This particular chapter is one of the wonderful chapters. If you want to meditate upon it, you can meditate upon it. Psalm chapter 46. Three things that we can learn. Not only about who God is, but also, the second portion, know that God is our who? God is our first verse. Let us read that. Shall we all read Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1 all together, please? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. First thing that we can learn is that God is our refuge. In parentheses, in brackets, you can write, he is our strength and help. He's our strength and help. He's our refuge. Refuge means he's our hiding place. I can go and take my protection there. What does it say in your language? Verse 1, please read. Ashraya Durgamu. He is the one where whom I can go. Ashrayam. Meaning to be able to find a place where I can have the necessary strength and help. We heard about that story. However, when there was a great storm outside, the little child, the moment he saw the father, he felt good because he felt refuge. He found refuge in the father. Maybe you are going through tough times in your life. Maybe troubled times. It says here, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I don't know what trouble you're going through right now. Maybe the trouble that you have in your family. Maybe a trouble in your work. Maybe a trouble in your immigration situation. Maybe a trouble in your personal life, in your walk with God, that you're not able to walk properly the way in which God wants us to. Troubled times. Stormy situations in our lives. Remember this. May each one of us be encouraged from this one verse. God is our refuge. Where else can we go, my dear? Many times we think that some people would be of help. God can use people. I'm not saying that. I'm not denying that. But not to say that, oh, I want to go to them. I don't want to go to God. God is my final refuge, last refuge. No, he's my first refuge. First verse, it says, God is our refuge and strength. When we go through weak times, when we go through tough times, when we feel so weak in ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, let me share with you that we have a God who is our refuge and strength. A very present help, not past help, not future help, a present help. What does it say in your language? Second line. Verse 1, please read. Right time, timing, right samay, right timing. What does it say in any other language? Verse 1. Nammuko dagina sahayakudu. I can trust him. I know he'll be there. Very present help in the trouble. Are you seeking him? Are you seeking him in troubled times? Or are you thinking that, okay, that's not a big deal. I don't need to worry. I'll go after the people. No. My refuge is God. My refuge is God. I get reminded of this story. Let me share with you. There were some bomb blasts that happened November 11, 2026, they say, in Mumbai. And people were shooting. I mean, and people were trying to see how they can prevent themselves. We don't know who they were. And suddenly from nowhere, the Taj Hotel was attacked. And I was reading through a story during that time. I still remember having read that. Even now I remember. They were just doing a random shooting inside. Those who were inside, they didn't know where to hide. Some of them were hiding here and there. And there was one person who was hiding under a table. He didn't know where else to go. And suddenly, he notices that the place that he can hide himself is under a table. He felt refuge under that table. And that man the shooter did not find him. And he left that place. And later he shared his particular story, saying that I found refuge under the table. We need to find refuge in places of our troubles, my dear. What does it say in verse 2? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountain slip. See, for though, it says in verses 2 and 3, we will not fear. Maybe you're going through fearful situations in your lives. Just be still, my dear. Though the earth should change, though this earth is changing in every situation, physically, morally, and in every way, if it is changing, though the earth should change, mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. You know what Selah means? Pause. Just quiet down. Let fear not attack us, my dear. It's very important that we are cautious of that important element. The second thing that we can learn, that God is not only our refuge, but he is our river. Let us see the second portion from 4 to 7. See, all this particular chapter is divided into 3 with the word Selah in between. So, 4 to 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. He wants to give us gladness. He wants to let our dry lives be filled with water, streams of water. Maybe there are some things that are happening in our lives where we are feeling dryness. Oh, spiritually, when things are not happening in this world, the way we are expecting it to happen, suddenly we become dry. Let me share with you, my dear brothers and sisters. God is the one who gives us the streams of rivers flowing to make glad the city of God, the dwelling place of God. When you have God as your dwelling place, he will make sure that there is a river of gladness and peace. Gladness and peace, both are essential in our lives to be able to have it. Let us read Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 12. Isaiah 66 and verse 12, please read. Isaiah 66 and verse 12. Enough, brother. Behold, I'll extend peace to her like a river. Still waters. Psalm chapter 23 talks about, he leads me beside still waters, peaceful. The rivers of streams that are coming towards me, stream of mercy, never failing. God is a God who wants to enable us to extend, to be able to have that peace of God, the joy or gladness that he wants to give us. But for that, you need to be still. And know that God is our refuge. God is our river of peace and joy in our lives. All these troubled times takes away those two things, my dear. Troubles in our lives takes away joy and peace in our lives. But when we come to God, when we be still, the things that we can learn is God is the one who gives me the river of joy and river of peace in my life. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. I have come to give you peace. The peace of God needs to be rest upon us. I get reminded of a bumper sticker, sometimes license plate also. I don't know if you have seen this. Have you seen this? If not, see this now. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W. It's very important. Maybe some of us will go by that license plate or a bumper sticker to be able to say, if you have no Jesus, there is no peace in your life. There's no rivers of streams of joy and gladness. But if you know him, be still and know him. Be still and know him, my dear. Know Jesus. You should know him. Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 2, please see. Philippians chapter 2. I'll read a few verses, wonderful verses that we can learn from Philippians chapter 2. It says here, Philippians chapter 3. Sorry. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, please listen to this, that I may know him, in other words, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. That I may know him, Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ personally, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Troubled times, remember Jesus Christ and his sufferings. Many times we don't realize that and we keep complaining, wondering, why am I going through? Paul the Apostle, he too had thorn in his flesh, bothering him in his life. But may I share with you, my dear brothers and sisters, that we have a God who is ready to be able to understand the situations that we are going through in our lives. That I may know him. Most of the time we know, because we don't know him, we are going through these tough times. Even in verse 8, it says, more than that, I count all things to loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Many times we go after the worldly things so much. So here he says in verse 8, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. Not knowing about Christ Jesus, but knowing Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle, he was able to say that I may know him. I want to know Christ Jesus more and more. More and more I want to know him. Many times we get so much entangled the things of the world that we are unable to know who Christ is, to be able to gain the things of Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, are you so much boggled with the things of this world? You know, in the continent of Africa, how people catch monkeys? They did not want to give them any tranquilizers. You know what they did? They put a heavy bottle, not a small light, with a very narrow neck to that bottle. And they put some sweet aroma nuts inside the bottle. And these monkeys, when they get the smell, they put their hand inside the bottle. It's a very narrow one where the hand goes in and they want to hold as many nuts as possible. And suddenly when these people come to catch the monkeys, they try to leave. They want to leave, but they don't want to leave the nuts. I want the nuts, but at the same time, I want to run away from these people who are going to catch me. But they cannot go away because the bottle is heavy. So they cannot let go of the bottle. They don't want to let go of the nuts. All they had to do was to leave the nuts, get the hand out back and leave. But what are they doing? They are clinging on to the things. Let go, my dear. Be still. Let go. Let go of the things of this world in order to be able to gain Christ. Many times we are so occupied of the things of the world that we are not here. Here in Philippians chapter 2 and chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul the apostle says that I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Maybe the time has come for us to focus our attention on the things that have eternal value. I'm not saying that you totally not do anything, but when it comes to our prioritization, what are we doing? To be still, to let go and let God, remember that. To let go and let God do the things that are essential in our lives. Many times we don't do that. We want to hold on to it and at the same time and say, God, where are you in all my situations? What is going on? This like this monkey that is holding on to this. Lord, what is it? These people are coming to catch me. How can I leave? Let go, my dear. Let go. There was a man who was trying to walk in a very narrow place and he stumbled and fell into a valley. While he was falling, he got suddenly stuck to a branch of a tree and he was shouting. He was looking up and saying, is there anyone to help me? And there was a voice that came, yes, I'm here. And he said, can you please help me? Yes, just let go of the branch. And that man said, come on, how can I let go of the branch? Somebody help me out. Let go of the branch. And then after some time, that man said, is there anybody else out there who can help me? God is saying that just let go, the voice of the Lord, in other words, saying, let go of the branch so that I can hold you, my dear. I can hold you. But we still hold on to the things. Let go, or in other words, be still. Rapha means be still. Just stop doing whatever you're doing. And lean on me. Know me. Know me as your God. Back to Philippians, Psalm chapter 46. Thirdly, that we can see about knowing God as our rest. Easy to remember. God is our refuge. God is our river. And the third part from 8 to 11. 8 to 11 says, come behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. God lets wars be ceased. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Who is doing all this? Not us. God is doing it. You let go. Let God deal with it. Maybe you are going through some kind of a situations in your life. Maybe the time has come for us to say, Lord, I've been trying to hold to the steering wheel. I want you to steer my life. You take control of my life. Let go and let God. Very important lesson. That is when you'll be able to experience rest. Because he's doing everything. Come, behold the works of the Lord, verse 8. He is doing the work. Why should we struggle? He makes the wars to cease. In other words, cease and selah. Cease means stop. Selah means pause. In songs, when we sing sometimes, they put an interlude in between. That is called, it's a musical word, selah. Maybe if there was a song that was written, there would have been some pause in between 3 and 4. There would have been a pause between 7 and 8. And then there is a, I don't know what you call, postlude. Postlude meaning the end of the song. There is again some music that ends with it. Selah, selah, selah. Why? We need to come out of our busyness in our lives sometimes. So busy with work. So busy with the things of this world. I want to do this, that, multitasking here and there. What to do? Sometimes not even concentrating on what the other person is talking to us. Don't even look at the eyes of the other person. Spouses, they don't even look at each other's eyes and talk to each other. Why? They'll be holding on something. Yeah, tell me what next. Yeah, I'm listening. What? What is going on? You're not able to focus. Why? Similarly, we do the same thing when it comes to God. We are not able to have a full focus towards God. And that is why God is saying, if you read this Psalm 46, all these verses except verse 10, Verse 10 is in double quotes in my Bible. I don't know if you have it that way. In double quotes. Why? Because God is speaking. In every other thing, it is the sons of Korah saying God is our refuge, telling in a second person way or a third person. But the first person language is mentioned in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, my dear brothers and sisters. God wants to be able to give us rest. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, it says, what does it say? Come ye all who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God wants to give us rest because he has done the work on the cross. And all you and I need to do is to just cease from the things that we are trying to do to achieve something for salvation. But God has done everything. And certain things of this world we are trying to hold on to. Lord, I will let you do it for me. I want to wait and see. I want to be able to see how you are going to see. Come, behold the works of the Lord in verse 8. In my translation, in New American, it says, cease striving and know that I am God. So rest to cease. There are many people who do not know God. There are many people who do not know God. Generation to generation, it is a responsibility from one generation to pass on that heritage of faith to the next generation. There are many who are not doing it, my dear. They are not being able to pass on that. There are some parents who are saying, we want to give freedom to our children to decide whatever religion they want to follow. What is it? What are you doing? If you had that personal experience with the living God, why can't you be able to share that with your children? It is very important that we should be able to, fathers especially. Today being Father's Day, let us be able to see how important it is for us to pass on this heritage of our faith to next generations. Let us see in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, how terrible these verses we are going to read, especially when it comes to generation to generation. Maybe you are a first generation believer in Christ. What are you going to do in terms of your next generation? Are you just leaving them? Or are you being able to pass on the heritage of your faith to the next generation? I'm not talking about property, money, inheritance. No! Your faith, how you live in your life, will be seen by your children every day in your life. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Please read. It's a very saddening statement here. There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord. My dear, when I read this verse, I was really heartbroken. How important it is for us to be able to pass on what God has done to the next generation. There came up a generation who did not know the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. You should pass on that personal knowledge of Jesus Christ to the next generation, nor yet the work he has done for Israel. Maybe they're told, I did this, I did that, or somebody did this. Not telling what God has done. And that is what happens. Fathers, be cautious. I'm not saying mothers should not, but it is the responsibility of the head of the family to be able to make that important elements of passing on what you have personally known about God to the next generation. If you yourself don't have that personal experience, maybe this is the time for you, father, here. Every father that is sitting here, do you know Christ? Maybe you know about Christ. I'm not asking that. Everybody knows. Everybody knows who Jesus Christ is. Many people for that matter. Do you know, father? Do you know Jesus as your personal savior? I'm asking you personally. Maybe you say, I'm not a father. It's okay. No. Maybe you might become one later. Why not take this opportunity right now? Because if you are not living the way you should, to pass on from one generation to another generation, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Please read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt or worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Eli was a priest who was so busy on the things of this, of the temple of God, doing many things, but he neglected his children. The father neglected his sons. The sons also were trying to help in the temple, but they were not doing the right way because they did not know the Lord. Very, very terrible statements here. I want to make this a challenge to every father sitting here. Do you know God? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord in such a manner you can pass it on to your next generation? Are you waiting for your wives or your parents or somebody to be able to tell about God? What is wrong with you, Father? It includes me as well. To be able to pass on that wonderful God that you have experienced. If you do not have that experience, maybe today is the day. Father's Day, a father coming to Christ. There is no greater joy to see a father come to Christ or Heavenly Father on a day like a Father's Day. 1 John chapter 2, first letter of John. Chapter 2. We'll read a few verses. Verse 13, I read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Fathers, the moment you have become a father, physically also I'm saying, do you know God from the beginning of being a father? I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him. What a wonderful way in which God has enabled us to not only meditate upon this, be still and know God, but also on a Father's Day to say, fathers, I'm writing to you because you know him who has been from the beginning as well. You know from the beginning, and you have known him who has been from the beginning. Who has been from the beginning. Even in verse 14, I have written you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. From the beginning of your fatherhood also. Well, do you know that God is God from the beginning of the creation of this world? Can you be able to say that? Can this particular verse be applied to you, Father? Can you say that? I just wanted to show you a small picture here. It was a challenge for me, a reminder for me. One night, a father overheard his son pray, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my daddy is." Later that night, the father prayed, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be." That is a prayer of every father. Maybe you have a son, you have a daughter. Can they see God as a heavenly father in you as a father? Can the son say, this is how I want to be? This is the kind of way in which I want to live as a husband, as a father. I'm learning from my dad. Can the daughter say, this is the kind of husband I want? Seeing my dad, the way my dad is living, that is the kind of husband I want. Or are they saying, I don't want a husband like my dad? Imagine if a daughter saying that. Or imagine a daughter saying, just the way my dad loves my mom, I want such a kind of husband. Can you be like that? When my dad goes through troubled times, the first thing he does is he kneels down and prays. I can see my dad doing that. I want to be like that. Can the child say that, fathers? Or, oh, my dad is always a shouting dad. He keeps shouting here and there. He doesn't talk to me properly. He doesn't care about my mom. Is that the kind of father we are? Let us be cautious of this important thing that we should learn. There are many fathers who do not know God. Let us not be in that category. Fathers, let us learn this important lesson on a Father's Day. Mothers as well, you have to support the fathers in order to be able to help out in making sure that we may know God as the Elohim God, as the existing I Am God, as exalted God. He's our refuge. He's our river. He's our rest. I get reminded of a hymn. It says, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul." Many times, we are like those disciples who do not know Christ in a personal way. I want to close with this disciples' stories quickly enough. At home, we are meditating on the book of John. Currently, we are in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We have read verse 7 onwards the other day. John chapter 14, verse 7 onwards. Where Jesus says, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus says that if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Then Philip said, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Philip, when Jesus is saying, if you have known me, you have known the Father. And notice this verse, verse 9. When I was in our family prayer, really God reminded me of this verse. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Philip has been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. And now Jesus is saying, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? You are coming regularly every Sunday. If Jesus asked this question to you, how terrible would that be? You have been coming so regularly, greeting everyone and trying to be part of various things of the church. Have I been so long with you, yet you have not known me, Philip? Philip did not know Christ in a personal way. He was seeing the miracles that he was doing, probably the earthly blessings that were going on, but they were not really able to know Christ personally. Maybe we are in that category. Matthew chapter 26. Whenever I read this, I get reminded of my own. Am I any better than this man called Peter? What is going on in his life that I could relate to and each one of us could relate to? How he denied Christ. And you know what he said? In verse 72. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I do not know the man. Verse 74. He began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. Oh my. Peter, he said, I don't know Christ. The Peter who was going around with Jesus, seeing the wondrous things Jesus has been doing, he bluntly said in front of everyone, I don't know Christ. Maybe we are like that. Maybe we don't know who the real Christ is. We are looking at the earthly blessings and trying to see, oh, if this happens, then God is real God. If this doesn't happen, God is not real God. He is the creator, my dear. He is a heavenly Father who has come into this world as a human being to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Oh, my dear. Be still and know him. Know him, my dear. Know him personally. The more you spend time with him and more you are empowered by his spirit, you will know him better. Husbands and wives, people say the first year of their married life is where they get to know each other. Second year, they get to know each other more. As the years go by, they know each other so well. Spend time with Christ. Know him personally. Know him. As Paul the Apostle said, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection. Christ Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. We are going to take part in the table that is set before us. But God is saying, do you know me? Do you know me? This is a challenge for me and each one of us as well. Be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge. He will take care of the situations in our lives. Can you say that? Or I don't know. I'm not sure if he does it or not. He has done it in their lives, but why is it not happening in my life? Many questions that we come across in our lives. Take this as a challenge, my dear. Everyone sitting here, doesn't matter whether you are a father or not. Every individual sitting here, my desire and prayer, my humble plea is that you may know Christ as the only God, the only true God. John chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That they may know you, the only true God. Do you know Jesus Christ as the only true God? Do you know Jesus Christ as a God who takes care of all our situations in our lives? He's our refuge. He's the river. He's the one who gives us rest. Maybe you have come with a lot of troubles in your life. Or you may know some people who are going through troubled times in their lives. Take this as a challenge. Maybe there is a job that you have been waiting for, you're not been getting it. Maybe there is an immigration problem that you're struggling through. Remember, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted among the nations on the earth. God is saying that. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. Troubled times. Everybody goes through troubles. Different kinds of troubles. But may I encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters. When I went through my personal life, a lot of struggles in terms of my job, in terms of the loss of loved ones, my own dad, when he was going through tough times in his life. In all those situations, God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our help, my dear. Know him well. I want to know him. I want to know him all the days of my life. I want to know more and more about him. More about Jesus would I know. Do you want to know him? Maybe you have not been so serious about God. Maybe you are thinking, oh, my children, my wife will take care of the children. Husbands, lead your family prayers. Lead. Learn how to. Otherwise, we are planning to have men's ministry as well, where we will encourage you to know how to lead family prayers. When was the last time you had a family prayer in your house? Do you know how to be able to lead your children? To be able to pass on from one generation to the next generation? To know Christ. Let us be thankful to God that he has given us an opportunity to be still and know him. That is why we come together into church, to forget about everything else and to focus upon him, to learn more about him. May the Lord bless this word.